God loves me dearly. Even me. When we sing that hymn, we should all take a deep breath and say those last few words again. Even me. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is God Loves an Underdog. Based on our gospel reading from Luke 14, these words from Jesus, verse 11, Jesus said, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." I encourage you to follow the sermon with the sermon outline in your bulletin this morning. Is that a green piece of paper? Follow your green insert as we consider our theme, God Loves an Underdog. Mr. Thomas Wheeler, who is the former chief executive officer of the Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance Company, tells this story on himself. He says that one day he and his wife were on a drive and he noticed they needed some gas. But during this drive, he was bragging to his wife about all the wonderful successes he had in his long, illustrious career as a chief executive officer. And he turned to her and said, "Dear, you should be thankful that all these years you have been married to a chief executive officer." Well, they pulled over to the first gas station they could find to find some gas. It was a little rundown gas station, one pump, kind of beat up place. And he asked the attendant to fill her up, and he went into the washroom. When he came out, he found that his wife was talking and laughing and hugging the gas station attendant. Well, Wheeler paid the man and drove off down the road. And he asked his wife if she knew the man. She said, "Well, in fact, I know him very well." They had gone to high school together. They had even dated for a year. And at one time, she seriously considered marrying the man. Well, Wheeler couldn't help but keep on bragging and said, "Dear, aren't you lucky I came along? Because if you'd married him, you would have married a gas station attendant. But aren't you lucky you're the wife of a chief executive officer?" And she turned to him as only wives can turn to their husbands and said, "My dear, if I'd married him, he'd be the chief executive officer, and you'd be the gas station attendant." Jesus said, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled." Our Lord Jesus tells us again and again in Holy Scripture not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Or to say this in a positive way, the Scriptures tell us again and again, God loves an underdog. When you look up in Webster's dictionary the definition of underdog, here's what you find. An underdog, the losing dog in a fight, the loser in any struggle, anyone who is weak and not expected to win and not expected to succeed. Well, as you may well know, the theme that runs through the entirety of Holy Scripture is this: God loves an underdog. What do we see Jesus doing again and again? He shows little patience with the self-righteous winners of this world. Instead, he eats meals with the outcasts, the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. And he makes the hero of his most famous parable a Samaritan, a despised half-breed. When he selects his 12 disciples, he doesn't choose from the winners in society. He looks out and finds 12 unlearned men who are laborers, blue-collar common laborers, common men. And the theme of today's gospel reading continues this theme. God loves an underdog. Verse 1 in our text says, "One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him very carefully. Jesus was being watched. Jesus was being judged. Jesus was being evaluated. How would he interact with the powerful, the successful, the winners? Well, as he sat there surrounded by these folks, he told them a parable. Verse 7 says, "Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor. Evidently, those in attendance got there early to grab the best seats, the seats filled with prestige. They wanted to be noticed. They wanted to be envied. They wanted to be exalted." And Jesus continues his parable in verses 8 through 10. He said, "When you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you will come and say to you, 'Please give your place to this person.' And then you'll begin with shame to take the lowest place. No, when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes to you, he may say, 'Friend, please move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you." And here come his words again. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And after telling this parable, Jesus turns to the host of the dinner party, and he speaks these words to the host. He also said to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and repay you. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed." This is yet another way of saying what this sermon is all about. Can you tell me what the theme is? God loves an underdog. We see the same truth in the Old Testament story of Gideon. Gideon, the mighty general of God. He was called to lead Israel's troops against a vastly superior Midianite army. The Midianites had more men. They had more armor. And they had the armor tank of the day. Camels, mobile camels for fighting. The troops of Israel were easily the underdogs. But then God says something almost unbelievable to Gideon. It's recorded in Judges chapter 7. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands. In order that Israel may not boast that her own strength has saved her, there must be fewer men." Did you catch it? Outmatched, outclassed, outnumbered. Israel is told by God they have too many men. God is going to show them that the victory is His, not theirs. God is going to show them the power is His, not theirs. And by the end of Judges chapter 7, we see Gideon leading a ragtag army of 300 men against thousands, and God gives them the victory. Why? Because God loves an underdog. Especially an underdog that places their faith in God and not in themselves for delivery and help. My friends, every person sitting here today and this morning with all of our active children, all of you in the narthex who are out there too, if you can hear me, every person here today is facing a powerful enemy. Every person here today is outmatched, outclassed, and outnumbered. Our enemy is sin. Our enemy is death. Our enemy is the devil. Our enemy is this sinful world. Our enemy is our failures and our heartbreaks. Our enemy is illness. Our enemy is, well, you fill in the blank for your own life. But like Gideon, we have God's promise that He will not abandon us. We have God's promise that He will arm us for the battle. By creating in our hearts saving faith and trust in Him, God turns underdogs into winners. Winners not because of our strength or ability, but winners because we know this. When we are weak, but leaning upon His everlasting arms, then we are strong. St. Paul tells us much the same thing. God loves an underdog, and God loves to show His glory in our weakness. Here are just a few things St. Paul says. 1 Corinthians 1. God chose the lowly things of this world so that no one may boast before Him. 2 Corinthians 4. But we have God's treasure in earthen vessels to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Paul also points out a lesson from his own life to show that our strength comes from dependence upon God and not ourselves. Paul talks about a personal problem he had. It most likely was a health problem. We're not quite sure. Paul calls it a thorn in the flesh. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 12. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, 3 times I asked the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, says Paul, I will boast the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When we are weak, when we are struggling, when we feel like an underdog, but at the same time learn to lean on His everlasting arms, then we learn how strong we can truly be. And did you know that our Lord Jesus, made Himself to be an underdog. And He did it. He did it for you and me. Listen to what Paul says about Jesus, the underdog, in Philippians chapter 2. Christ Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, so that He could become our Savior from sin, our Savior from death, our Savior from the devil. Jesus gave up His glory and the rights and powers He had as a member of the Holy Trinity. He gave up temporarily His equality with Almighty God. He allowed Himself to be born in a manger in Bethlehem. He became a servant of sinful men. He humbled Himself all the way down to laying down His life on a cross. He allowed Himself, the Lord of glory, allowed Himself to be crucified, to have spikes driven through His hands and feet for you and for me and for our salvation. He who had it all gave it up to become an underdog, to become that losing dog in a fight. As sin, death, and devil seemed to have won the fight on Good Friday. Oh, but you know, don't you? I see the grins. You know. And you know what I'm going to say next. It may have been Friday, but Sunday was coming. Easter Sunday. Jesus, who died for you and me, rose for you and me in glorious victory. And St. Paul continues in this same chapter, Philippians 2, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. God loved his underdog son and gave him resurrection victory. And my friends, that resurrection victory is your victory, your hope, and your strength. Such good news should humble sinners like you and me. It should cause us with all humility to speak the words of that third verse of the hymn Rock of Ages. The verse that goes like this: nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. In today's gospel reading, Jesus gives each of us gathered here today a word of warning and a word of grace. The word of warning: everybody who exalts himself will be humbled. The word of grace: and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is what it means to be humbled. I confess that I am a sinner. I give thanks that I am a forgiven sinner in Jesus Christ, my Lord. I give thanks that God loves me and I'm his precious child in his sight. And I will treat others likewise, especially others who are considered to be underdogs in this world. A story is told about a kindly man who made a visit into a home in which cute little 7-year-old Beverly lived. Now, not my cute Beverly, but another cute Beverly all the same. This man was an uncle to little Beverly, and little Beverly loved her dollies. She had a marvelous collection of dollies, many that people had given her, some very unique, some very expensive. But when her uncle asked her, "Beverly, what's your favorite dolly?" she said, "Will you promise, Uncle, you won't laugh if I tell you?" And he promised that he wouldn't laugh. So she went into her room and brought out the most tattered, worn out, beat up doll you can imagine. There was no hair on the doll's head. The nose was broken off. There was a crack in the arm. And Uncle asked, "Why do you love this dolly the most?" Little Beverly said, "Because she needs it the most. If I didn't love her, nobody would." My friends, Jesus, our Savior, is like that. Jesus, our Lord and God, loves us and loves all people when we need it the most. When we are treated like being worthless by others, when we're considered underdogs in this world, when we feel like an underdog, never forget, God loves an underdog. God loves you in the name of Jesus. God loves you. Amen.